Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following program is brought to you by the Preferred Home Team. Content is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal or real estate advisors. Welcome to the Real Estate Radio Hour, a forum of ideas, plans, and expert advice on all things real estate. Andy Prasky with RE/MAX Advantage Plus was named Super Agent by Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine. Chris Rooney of RE/MAX Preferred is a Lakeshore and Luxury Home Specialist. Together, they cover the Twin Cities. This combined dynamic duo has sold over 2,000 homes, ranked in the top 1% nationwide, top 10 in the state of Minnesota, and still have time to get together every Saturday to talk about real estate. Here's Andy Prasky and Chris Rooney, Denny Law, and the Real Estate Radio Hour.
And good morning. Welcome to more Real Estate Talk here on 830 WCCO. Chris and Andy in studio, bringing in another special guest, as they always do. Good morning, guys. Good to see you.
Yeah, you too.
How was the week in real estate? Now, have you both been in town this past week?
Yes.
Kind of, yeah.
Kind of. Okay. There's a story there.
Yeah. I'm sure. Yeah.
But seriously, what's the market been like for each of you?
Well, it's good. I mean, obviously showings are picking up along with the weather. The weather's a big factor. Dealing with a lot of people. Got actually 4 phone calls this last week about people finally almost ready.
Yep.
And so then it's time to come over. And then hopefully by later next week, we're going to have some green grass and some water to be able to show people.
That'd be nice. Yeah. That, this last week here too, we were looking at some of the numbers, and we're kind of on a really interesting point here with the season, because we're either going to pick things up, which we're hoping, the listings are going to come on and we're going to be able to fulfill the need that's in the marketplace, or we're going to start seeing some numbers that are going to show that we're actually down quite a bit. And I know that some of our, guesstimates are as much as 25% down in volume if we continue at the, kind of trajectory that we're at right now. That would be catastrophic, obviously. But on paper, all it means is that nobody wants to sell their house, right? Or that they don't feel comfortable upgrading. And new construction just took a big jump in price for a lot of the builders that are out there. Labor is putting a lot of pressure. Now lumber is starting to climb up again, and materials are. So anyway, not to be a doomsday guy, but I'll tell you what, we have to deal with what's reality for our clients. And right now we're seeing new construction climbing because they can. And it's not the builders. A lot of times, like I said, it's the labor and the supply material, factors.
And the lack of inventory,
right.
The homes that are currently constructed.
Right, exactly. So, it's an interesting. Hopefully we'll get some more listings. So those of you that thought about listing, let's go. let's get out there.
Yeah, like I said too, I mean, people might kind of be tricked a little from the market when you go in and you look at a place specifically between that $400,000 and $600,000 range where a lot of that construction is taking place. I was doing a market analysis the other day, and what was really interesting is that I'm looking on the right side and it says 2017, 2018. I mean, all of these homes that are out of these 25 homes, I can't remember. It was 18 or 19 of them that were to be built or going to be built.
Yeah.
And so in reality, there were 6 or 7 that you could get into right now. But people are looking at it and thinking there's 25.
Right.
So, yeah, it's kind of
well, it's like fishing. They're just throwing more of the lures out there to see if they can grab anybody's attention and grab that potential future buyer, bring them in and allow them to have the process already started. Because one of the things, Denny, that I see a lot of people struggle with is when they say, yeah, let's go build a new house. They don't realize that takes a year, at minimum 6 months. And somewhere between that window. And it just, most people are not prepared for that. They're not financially ready to say, hey, I'll have 2 mortgages, so I don't have to worry about being homeless in the middle of the school year. So there's a little more planning that goes into it and strategizing. And then those to-be-builts, what's nice is the buyer that says, hey, I do want to actually build a new house, they can jump on a house that's already 3/4 or half of the way under production, and then they can put the final touches on it you know, and make the move.
Good point. Yeah. Say, we always like to invite our listeners to join in on the conversation. If you have any kind of a real estate question, call it in or text it in. The phone number, we've cleared the lines now, 651-989-9226, or send a text like some folks are already doing, 81807.
And we always get behind them.
We do.
Me and Andy talk too much. But let's hit one here.
Okay.
Want to sell a house built in 1977. The house is encroaching on a side lot setback by 4 feet. The building inspector should have caught this infraction. Can this be grandfathered in? Do I have to buy land from the neighbor? What do I have to do? Surveys, legal descriptions, kind of looking for some direction.
What do you guys think?
Number one, go talk to your city and county. Mm-hmm. That's number one. And find out if they'll allow that. And so it looks like it's into the side setback. Mm-hmm. So what that means for people is that typically in neighborhoods that you have 10-foot side setbacks on each side, so you can't build like on the lot. Usually 25 in the front, but they might be of that 10-foot, they might be down to like 6 foot.
Yeah,
encroaching.
Yeah. And I've even developed a couple pieces of land in the past where we've had the garage that's a decent garage that's not conforming to the current. And then you just make everybody disclose that, yep, everybody knows that that house or that garage is a foot off the property line. It's more of being aware of it. And usually when the cities will make adjustments around you, it's so that they can preserve something or so they don't have to take that house down, for an example, to develop the land around it. So they may allow that variance in the code. It's just a matter of, like Chris said, digging into it a little bit. And then if you dig into it and they actually start saying to you that you have to do things with it, that's where you may want to seek a little more of an attorney or somebody like that to help you through the process.
Yeah, I would think that, you know, if the city let that happen, you know, I would think they would do that or allow that. But it's definitely mm-hmm. something that you want to disclose.
Right.
That disclosure is kind of an important little thing.
And again, if you want to send a text, 81807. A lot of folks find that easier, 81807.
Okay,
let's keep
going.
It in.
Are multi-dwelling townhouses insured under one policy, or does each tenant have their own?
That's a good question.
Because there's multiple ways that they do that, and it is. I mean, so if you see a fourplex that was maybe mm-hmm. built a long time ago, they each have their own little insurance policy sometimes, and then they have a grand one on top.
Like townhome or twin home, right? Twin homes where you own the individual building that are attached is different than when you have a common piece of property like that where if it's owned by one owner and they're all rentals internally, it'd probably be one policy. But if they're individual owners and they have an association that has the exterior shell insured, and then you insure your interior shell and your own materials. So
yeah, exactly. And that's what most of them are like. But some of the older ones, they do have that we've ran into. So, you know, we got Travis Whitford here, fresh back from Hawaii.
I was going to say aloha.
Yeah, he's back. And this might be one for him. Is excessive debt an impediment to a mortgage? Some people went to expensive schools or stay in college until their PhD and have debt out of the wazoo. And boy, we've seen that before, haven't we, Travis?
Yeah, student loan debt is kind of it's a tricky subject. It kind of depends on what type of loan you're qualifying for. Conventional financing has really eased up on student loan debt. They don't really look at the amount of debt that you have, but just the payment that's tied to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you're on some sort of income-based repayment plan and stuff like that, where you have a much cheaper payment in relationship to the amount of debt, you know, you can just use that payment, which makes it a lot easier to qualify. On government loans, though, they don't use that. They don't use that calculation. You have to do 1% of the outstanding balance for a payment factor. So if you got $200,000 of student loans, I basically got to give you credit for a $2,000 a month mm-hmm. payment. Where if you're on an income-based repayment plan or, you know, some sort of deferred out and the payment's only, you know, $600, I can use that $600 for conventional.
Well, and you know, Chris, there's also programs. I know we've talked about this before, too, where they actually are for doctors. Or so if you do have the PhD, you've gone all the way through and you actually finished and you are a doctor, they have some zero down programs they used to have all kinds of different, you know, wonderful programs, understanding that individual's situation and understanding that they have the earning potential better than the average person. So
yeah, correct. And a lot of times those doctor loans will give you 100% financing with no mortgage insurance too, and allow for an expandable debt ratio analysis, so to say. A lot of times they look at residual income. If you have enough residual income, meaning after all your debts are paid, how much is left over. They can get some expanded approval criteria.
And aside from student loan debt, I mean, obviously debt's going to impede someone getting a mortgage if they have too much debt.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, I mean, you can't be out of control with all the rest of your debt. I mean, what really hurts people qualifying and make solid incomes, if you got a bunch of student loans and you both got really nice car payments and, you know, a bunch of credit, you know, that can totally affect your qualifying levels.
All right, we need to take a break, but we invite our listeners to join in on the conversation. If you have a real estate type of question, call it in, 651-989-9226, or send a text, and we'll get back to those, too, 81807. And good morning. Welcome back to our real estate show here on 830WCCO, where, again, your questions are always welcome, either by phone or by text, before I throw it back to Chris and Andy and Trav, 651-989-9226. Text 81807.
Those texts are coming fast and furious.
They are.
Which is good. And then we'll get to Travis Whitford. He is one of these text questions actually kind of is going to lead right into that, but it's buying home non-contingent. And that's our topic today. But we're going to hit on some of these. Andy, if both houses are theoretically equal, why would new construction be more expensive than an existing home?
Well, theoretically, they would be the same price, because if you retrofitted an existing house to have the same energy efficiencies, all the same warranties, the new equipment, the new roof, the new windows, the longevity of the products in that house. So when you say all things are equal, that's basically what you'd have to do. You'd have to remodel that house. At that point, your remodeled house would actually be probably more expensive than the brand new house.
Yeah.
So in that case, it'd be cheaper to buy new than to remodel.
It's like buying a new car.
Correct.
You know, I mean, if it's a couple years older, well, you're going to get that cheaper.
That's a perfect example.
Thank
so
you.
You look at like a pickup truck, right? A pickup truck, let's say it's $50,000 for a new GMC truck or Ford or whatever you want to pick. And then you go back to a 1950s and you have it restored and you spend $160,000 restoring your truck. You know, all things equal.
Absolutely. Totally. Okay. How do you find out where there are 55 and older detached townhomes? Mm-hmm. Thanks much. That can be built. Love the show. That's cool. We can obviously help with that.
Yeah, real estate agents have the ability to look for those developments, and they can search with the MLS criteria. Plus, they usually, most agents that I know have the ability to, in the community that you're looking in, they know the inventory that's available in those areas.
You know, and on that too, I would be just Googling that, you know, 55 plus detached townhomes, and mm-hmm. you'll probably, you know, Minnesota or even put the town mm-hmm. in somebody's. Someone's description of a listing will probably bring you to that as well.
Absolutely.
So, all right, let's go to that one question. Where did it go? Boy, there's a lot of them. Okay, is it possible to borrow against your main home to buy a lake home? We owe about $50,000 on our existing home, and the value is about $350,000. So they got about $300,000 worth of equity. So they're obviously, they want to buy a second home.
In a defined buying it, they want to pay cash for it, you know, or
we don't
want to get just down payment. But yeah, so, but you could do a cash out refinance on your current house, pull out enough funds to buy the other house.
That might be the best way to get the best interest rate.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah, to get the best interest rates of both worlds. It depends on how much money you're going to need for that house, determine how big of a cash out loan you want to do and where you want to kind of have both your mortgages at the end of the day and what you can qualify for. But yeah, I know a lot of people, I've helped out lots of people over the years that want to use equity in their current house to help buy a cabin at some capacity.
Yeah. Another question here is interest rates taking a bite yet? Is the question.
Well, since considering I was pretty much disconnected for the last week, I can't really tell you what exactly happened. I do know rates went up over the last week or so. So
yeah, but you know, we talked about that a little bit before the show and in the break room, and we were having where interest rates did take a very aggressive jump this week in speculation of the Fed raising the you know mortgage rates. And they or the interest rates, and then the mortgage rates went up, but the Feds did not. So I'm assuming that you'll see a softening or an adjustment sometime this week. I'm assuming. You never know. But
I think there's a pretty important report on Monday coming out regarding the inflation numbers. And depending
right.
on how those inflation numbers are digested. Mm-hmm. We'll take the trend for next week.
Well, and that was the key indicator that they said they were concerned with, was the inflation starting to kick in. So the Fed put out, you know, to the public, their public release was that they're planning on now changing their attitude towards the raising the interest rates for the, at least the next couple sessions, and planning on not raising the rates so that they could, you know, kind of push off inflationary factors. So
interesting. This is kind of affecting our real estate market right now. Is the shortage of inventory a Minnesota issue, or is it a nationwide issue?
That for sure is nationwide. I mean, I'm sure there's pockets out in the middle of nowhere and the smaller communities that don't have the pressure we do here. But I'm telling you, even with the building in the Twin Cities of apartment buildings and everything else to provide more doors or households, we're still struggling to keep up.
Yeah, and I also think, I mean, people have to look at it in their own situation, because we can say, oh my gosh, inventory is horrible, your house is going to sell immediately and you're going to get 72 offers. Well, not if you're over $1 million. There's 9.4 months worth of inventory there of what's buying. So, I mean, yeah, if you're under 300,000, I mean, you can kind of name your price.
Well, yeah, but we've got a buyer that we're looking with that's a 750 buyer, and they can't find anything. Yeah. And there's nothing in their price range right now that's for sale for detached townhouses, super executive level. And then the one that is for sale has been for sale for a year and a half, and you start scratching your head going, what's wrong with it? And
I think that's really interesting, because you talk about you know, the home that's, you know, more expensive, and there's not a lot of houses on Lakeshore. And when they come up, I mean, they go like hotcakes. So now when I say that, you know, over $1 million is 9.4 months on the lake, it might be, you know, minus 2 days. You know, by the time
right,
it gets sold.
Right, exactly.
All right, we need to take a break, but we have another show to go. If you want to get involved, ask your real estate questions, 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our real estate show here on 830-WCCO. You have a question, we welcome you at 651-989-9226, or send a text 81807. Guys, we have a caller on the line. Let's get to Ann, who's calling from Dresser, Wisconsin. Ann, thanks for hanging on. What can we do for you?
Yes, I have a hobby farm for sale, and it's listed with a realtor. It's been listed for about 3 weeks. I'm asking $279.9, and I have, it's 5 acres, 40 by 80 pole barn, and an old barn built in late 1800s or 1900s, doesn't leak, it's all metal and metal siding. And I'm wondering what that price, if you think that's fair.
Certainly sounds like it.
Yeah.
It sounds like, I mean, it depends. I mean, what condition the house is and stuff like that. But, mm-hmm. I mean, having an outbuilding and then having the 5 bedrooms.
Yeah.
Or the 5 bedrooms, the 5 acres.
Yeah.
You know, Dresser, I'm not familiar with that market.
Well, you know, and I think, Ann, too, one of the things that is okay with most real estate agents, if you ask them to say, hey, could you give us a quick snapshot of all of what you'd consider to be my active competitors in this price point? And maybe even you go out and you drive by or look at a few of those other listings just to see, because there's probably one buyer coming in, and maybe there's 3 or 4 properties just like yours, or, you know, similar with acreage or whatever. Maybe they don't have the exact barn from the 1800s or something neat like that. But everybody has their own, you know, items that are in demand or whatever. But the point of it is that you want to shop your competition and make sure that you're who you're competing against, that you compare fairly, so that you're not overpriced by $10,000, or you're not 3 acres smaller than the other guys, or whatever it is. And then you'll have a better shot at, when that one buyer comes through, you'll be the next one to sell. It's usually the prettiest house at the best price that sells next.
Amazing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You know, Travis, we had talked about on that one lake text, they had wanted to buy a lake home, was wondering if it was possible to borrow against their house, where they owed $350,000, or they owed $50,000, but it's worth $350,000. How they can get cash out of that, it could do a refinance, right?
Yep, they can do
80%.
80% of the value of the home is the maximum you can get for cash out refinancing.
Okay, so 80% of 350 is 280,000. If they owe 50, I mean, they'd have 230,000 to be able to work with.
They could use to put, you know, maybe that's enough to buy the lake home in full, or it gives them a decent chunk to put down and obtain a smaller mortgage for the rest of it. You know, or they got cash to help bridge the gap, to pay cash for it.
Yeah, and that kind of leads to the next text. It's, what kind of loan would you get for, like, a remodeling a bathroom with a house that's already been paid for?
To remodel a bathroom and a loan, I'd probably recommend just a simple home equity line of credit. Those are typically very little cost. If you own the home free and clear, you probably don't even need an appraisal. You know, they'll just take tax value, get a little line of credit, and utilize that to do it.
And I think you'll find, too, that there's a lot of contractors out there. I know Lindus does some financing for people that'll finance you as well, you know, directly through that. I mean, anyone will take the chance against a house that, you know, is paid for sure.
Unless you're putting in a $300,000 master bath or something like you would. But
all right. 651-989-9226. If you'd rather send a text, 81807. Guys, let's go back to the phones. Don is calling from Minneapolis. Go ahead, Don. Thank you.
Yeah, I had a question. I noticed that the realtors and the county assessor's office are kind of like, in my situation, they're separated. We're talking like $10,000 to $15,000 separation on their value of the property. You would think it'd be, years ago, the estimated value was always, you could sell your house for the estimated value, but now it seems like it's going down to where the tax value is for that property.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Don. I mean, the assessed value and the market value are completely different. And when you say 10 to 15,000, I mean, I've seen it hundreds of thousands apart on that. And typically, you can get more now in the market than what your assessed value is. My mom and dad were both in real estate for years and years and years. And, you know, my dad always told me when I first got into the business, he goes, well, I mean, pricing a home is pretty easy. All you do is you take whatever that assessed value is, do it by 10%, and that's what your list price is.
Right.
You know, it's obviously it's changed a little.
Right. Well, but, and, you know, too, remember, Chris, back in the day, I mean, a lot of people finished their basements or did things where the deck was added and wink, wink, they forgot to pull the permit. So the assessment that you have on that house for value doesn't reflect the actual true value. So what a real estate agent does is takes all of those things that you've done to the property, assesses a value to that, and then compares it to other houses for sale that have sold. So that's different than just
market value.
A market value, yeah. So
there's assessed value, market value, and then appraised value, and that's what Travis does. So basically what they'll do is that, hey, once we've determined a market value, and that means where a buyer and a seller have agreed at a price, you know, that has come up to it, then you'll send an appraiser to be able to say, hey, I got to prove that it is worth what that is if I'm going to give you a loan.
Yeah, and the appraisers just, I mean, they're just reporting data more or less. I mean, they're looking at the recent sold comps and trying and taking necessary adjustments between the difference of the subject property and recently sold properties and present the value. Mm-hmm. You know, lenders always lend off of the lesser of the appraised value or the purchase price. So most instances, you don't have issues where the appraisal comes in light. Sometimes it does. And if that does happen, try and renegotiate. You might have to bring a little bit more cash to close than what you're expecting.
Well, you know, Chris and I will use actives a lot of times, too, in our market analysis, because what the actives are showing you guys as a seller is it'll show you where the market's kind of headed. So if everybody's $10,000 higher than the most recent, you know, obviously sale price, the market's trying to get more for their houses. On the other hand, 2006, you started seeing houses list that got sick of being on the market, so they dropped 10,000. So then what I could do is you take those actives and you say, listen, the longer you wait to sell, it looks like here the market's starting to go down or it's starting to level off here. It helps you predict the sales cycle and make the right decisions to get you sold faster versus waiting and getting less down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a question. Hey, we're getting sales done here today. Where is the 5-acre place the lady was asking about? That's in Dresser, Wisconsin.
It's going to be on Chris Rooney's website. And then, with an exclusive contract, we'll get you right on that one.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's already listed with someone, so you should be able to find it on the internet if you just put in Dresser, Wisconsin. And then we listed our Eden Prairie home 5 weeks ago. It's unique with 6 bedrooms and 3 bathrooms on the second floor. Nice. The home is professionally staged, 8 showings the first week, and none since then. Any advice on selling a larger home with 6 bedrooms up?
Yeah, you know, I'd really take a hard look at what that feedback has been on those houses, because, you know, more doesn't always mean better. Because it could be, six bedrooms that are 5x10s and they're not, you know, I mean, it's...
Yeah, and I don't know if...
And I don't know that house, and yeah, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that the feedback will tell you a little more of that story.
But this house is a really good example, possibly, if it's right, that people were excited about probably that 6 bedrooms and 3 baths. 8 of them came right away. Mm-hmm. So this is what happens, is that people don't just all of a sudden wake up one day and say, hey, I'm going to buy. You know, they've been out there for a little while, and then they wait. And then when a house comes on, they all pounce on it. So 8 people did,
yep.
You know, and now there's something wrong. And right. It's typically what it's going to be is that price. And so yep. We just lost those people. That's why it's so important to price it correctly from the beginning.
Amen. Because
those are your best buyers. People don't go in and say, yep. You know what, Andy's got it listed. And, you know, gosh, you know what, I bet you Andy's just thinking that it's listed at 800, but he would take 750. I think he would 2 days on the market.
Yeah,
they don't think that way. It's 800. The other one's 770. Let's go look at that one.
I always tell people, list that 749.9 and get people out there that want to fight over it then, because they recognize that you're fair and you have a good price on it. So the market moves fast on the fair-priced homes. It's still, I'm telling you, they're not – the stories that we all hear, I'll say hogwash. I mean, they're 1 out of 100 that are, you know, 30,000 over asking price. It's just not happening in every price range. It's not happening in every city. I mean, we're in a market that is, you put it on the market in good condition at a fair price and it'll sell. If you're overpriced or your condition is not appropriate for the current market, it'll sit.
Yeah, and I think, you know, any advice on selling the larger home from a marketing perspective with 6 bedrooms up, I think that would be really fun to yeah. market. But I think you got to give people options. There's not a lot of Brady Bunch families anymore.
I was just going to say the same yeah. thing.
But maybe there is a Brady Bunch. Maybe it is a yeah. combined family. I mean, really try to think of who is going to be buying that and then sway your marketing towards that person. But it might be, hey, you know what? There's a music room, and then there's a den, and then we could do a workout room. You know, where you don't need all the bedrooms, as
yeah.
people think, oh my gosh, 6 bedrooms, there's too much to clean.
Yep.
You know, so.
Is, you guys have talked about this a number of occasions. Is staging happening more often in your business than it used to be?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I just think with the TV shows, I mean, even if people don't have a stager per se come in, that they know what they need
to do.
Well,
but think about that, Danny. If you've got a house with 6 bedrooms, and let's say every bedroom is full,
yeah,
your furniture, your flooring, everything is going to get worn out with that many humans in your house. I mean, it's, you know, and then you've got a dog, and then you've got visiting, you know, nannies or mom and dad coming to visit. You're going to wear your stuff out faster. That's why those houses, a lot of times, they do need to be renovated slightly before they sell. And think ahead, too, with materials that are going to, you know, think long term. You know, maybe you do more tile than you do of the soft wood floor that's in trend, you know, but you do something more durable.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, you said that too, like on a bigger home. What are people's concerns? Is that they're going to have to fix that thing up, or mm-hmm. that the maintenance of it is going to be terrible. So if you go in and the brick is chopped, looking bad at the front door. Mm-hmm. I mean, all they think about is, oh my gosh, there's 6 bedrooms upstairs right. too. We're going to have to redo them all.
Well, every garage door is dented from the kids with the hockey or the tennis balls right. or the lacrosse balls.
But that's
balls
what you're thinking, because the 6 bedrooms. You're thinking a bunch of kids. And,
right.
I mean,
right.
torture.
All right, we have to take a quick break here. Time flies. But we'll be back with more show. If you want to ask a real estate question by phone, 651-989-9226. Send a text if you like. 81807. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our real estate show here on CCO. 651-989-9226 if you want to call in that real estate question. Otherwise, send a text. It seems to be that's the most popular way of getting into the show.
Today's the day.
Yeah, 81807. Chris and Andy?
Well, we want to talk about purchasing. We were going to talk about this a long time ago. But buying non-contingent in this market, we've talked about it. It's tight. Sometimes you're not really able to say, hey, we'll buy your house if I can sell mine. So let's talk about buying a house non-contingent. So we don't have to sell ours. We'll get through and be done. What do we got to do?
Yeah, well, first, I think you get to understand what that really means and from a lending perspective. And you have to qualify with the new house, your current house, and be able to have the down payment to buy the new house. So a lot of times people qualify for way more than what they think. So the qualifying piece as far as the numbers is the debt-to-income ratio. That's typically not the problem. The problem is getting that equity out of that house that they're planning on selling or to, you know, for their down payment. So it's like, how do you do that if you don't have the cash saved up? Number one,
I think you're going to tell us.
Yeah. There's a couple ways to do that. If you don't have the cash, first thing to look at is a bridge loan or a home equity loan. And a bridge loan or a home equity loan, essentially, it's a loan against the equity in your current property. Typically, you're going to go up to 90% of the value of that house. They don't want to go up to 100 because when you sell it, you got, you know, realtor fees, you got other costs to sell, you got potentially seller pay closing costs. So they got to keep a little bit of cushion there to absorb that. another thing that I really like to do if people have these means is to do a 401k loan or a short withdrawal against your IRA. Now, the reason why I like that one so much is the cost effectiveness. Sometimes these bridge loans can get pretty expensive. You know, you got to pay all the title fees, recording fees, appraisal, and stuff like that. So you might have to pay like $1,000 to buy, you know, $50,000 or borrow $50,000. Where the majority of the 401k loans out there, I mean, typically what I see is a processing fee of like $50 to $150. That's it. So most 401k loans will allow you to borrow up to 50% of your vested balance. And then when you sell your house, you know, you just basically contact your 401k company and wire in your funds or send in a big chunk to pay that off. Now, what about the people that don't have a 401k?
Right.
You know, like self-employed borrowers, you don't have, they have a SEP IRA or a traditional IRA. I believe the rule is, because I've had people do this, you can take a short-term withdrawal out of a IRA up to up for 60 days. And as long as you get that money back in there inside of 60 days, you shouldn't have any tax ramifications or anything like that. So that's another way to go about doing it. And then another option is, you know, gift funds. You know, is there some money available from a family member to help support that down payment? You know, but I've done all these scenarios before, and you can structure it right pretty easily.
Well, that was so important. I think a lot of people immediately think, oh, and they've heard of it, a bridge loan. We'll get a bridge loan, but that might be a really expensive way in which to be able to do it.
Right.
And so to be able to kind of go over your options, so important.
But remember, like, bridge loans are designed to bridge. They're a short-term loan. That's why they're expensive. A HELOC, you might pull out a HELOC and have a prepayment penalty because you're paying it off too early. So there's expenses that can be hidden too. So don't just run down to the bank and pull your HELOC out to get your deposit made, because talk to Travis or the equivalent of Travis, because they're going to guide you through that, because not every loan is the same or equal with the rules.
I think a really good thing is, you know, you got to plan for this stuff. And if you know, like, you know, hey, I think sometime, you know, this fall, I'm going to want to try and move, and you got sufficient equity in your house, get your home equity line of credit right now, you know, so then you'll have it. Typically, the costs on a home equity line of credit are cheap. Some of them do have early payoff penalties, like Andy indicated, but it might only be a couple $100 at the end of the day. But plan for that now. Get that home equity line of credit now. If you don't owe anything on it, you don't make a payment, you know. So it's basically like a credit card tied to your house. You pay on what you owe. I mean, typically there's no annual fees. And if there is, I mean, you're not going to be in it. You're not going to have it for a year. So you're not going to have that fee. Yeah.
I was going to also say that a HELOC stands for a home equity line of credit, just so everyone knows.
Thank you.
Andy's going to know this one. Yeah, I had to explain that to Andy. He was saying HELOC. He didn't know what he was talking about. How is the market for a three-bedroom, 2 3/4 bath walkout rambler on 4.5 wooded acres, 26 by 64 pole barn, plus a three-stall steel building and parking area in Western St. Michael, built in 1971, updated frequently? Is that worthy of selling, Mr. Prasky?
Oh, my gosh. That's a high-demand property right there, for sure. I actually probably have a buyer right now. I've been looking for a five-acre piece up that way for a family that wants to actually build and keep their kids in the St. Michael district.
I think that's kind of interesting. I mean, it is things like that if you're thinking of selling, you should call.
Yeah, just call
your
us.
Realtor. Yeah, sure. Call Prasky.com, right?
Yep, I'm up there all the time.
All right.
All right, let's go back to the phones. We have 2 minutes to go thereabouts.
Quick one.
Pat in Fridley. Pat, go ahead with your question, please.
Yes, I bought this house 30 years ago approximately, and of course it's going up in value, and I put a lot into it. Will I get taxed on that increase, or do I have to keep track of everything that I put in the house?
Okay, we can't give tax advice, but I'll tell you what. If I had a house that was that old, if I was a single person, I'd get $250,000 tax-free. Or if I was married, it would be $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't give tax advice. So,
Thank God.
But you, yeah.
or have a personal residence.
As long as I've lived in there two of the previous 5 years, I will have been able to
consult your accountant. They'll help you walk through that. And then if you do get into a pickle where you're exceeding that $250,000, I believe that those receipts that you've saved over the years actually will come in and be valuable to you.
Mm. Travis, you're willing to meet with people, plan, get a loan together, get them set up to buy non-contingent?
Yes, it's pre-plan is the name of the game. Get a hold of me at travismnloans.com.
That one's easy.
I'd like a free cup of coffee out of that guy.
And Andy's going to list a house in St. Michael later. But
I'd love to, Actually, call me if you want. But no, Prasky.com is...
What a phone number.
763-433-0850 is my office number there.
Wow.
Remember that one.
Well, we have 60 seconds to give more phone numbers.
Well, Rooney, how do they get a hold of you then, Chris Rooney? It takes about 60 seconds.
ChrisRooney.com, yeah. You could come see my 300,000 remodeled bathroom, I guess, that you talked about. But how accurate is Zillow and other online valuation sources? I thought I'd end with that one.
They sway 14% on average in the Twin Cities market is what is in the back disclaimer on the back of the website that they legally have to put out there because of the inaccuracies in the past.
14%.
That was what it was last year. I didn't look for this year yet so far, but it sways. And that's all because of the information that they're getting is not necessarily accurate, so their algorithms don't work as well. But they're not perfect.
And if you're listing your house, make sure all the information they have is accurate.
Correct.
Because that will sway your thing, and people use it against you in negotiating.
Yep. Tax value is important, so get the tax information straight. Then all those sites that pull that information get it straight.
You guys are going to be back next week?
Absolutely.
All right.
So.
Susie Jones will be filling in for me. I'll be in California.
All right. That'll be fun.
Tasting a little grape. That'll be next week, so stay tuned.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.